This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
And welcome to the People Speak Radio. This is your host, David Swanson, and our guest for the next hour will be Charlotte Dennett. She is the Progressive Party's candidate for Attorney General in the state of Vermont, among many other accomplishments, and she will be joining us. If you have questions for Charlotte Dennett, you can phone in toll-free at 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494 if you are in the U.S. or Canada. Otherwise, anywhere else in the world, toll-free 877-489-6350. 877-489-6350. And if you want to type in your questions and have me ask them for you the best I'm able, go to the chat room at thepeoplespeakradio.net and join the conversation. Charlotte Dennett is not just your ordinary candidate for state attorney general. She has made a central part of her campaign a commitment to begin an indictment and prosecution of to-be former President George W. Bush for murder. Should be a very interesting campaign and hopefully a future tenure in the state of Vermont. Charlotte, thank you very much for joining us at the People Speak Radio.
Thanks. It's wonderful to be on your show.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from, grew up, went to school, and how you got into this lawyering business?
Oh my goodness, where to begin? Let me think. Well, I grew up in the States, but since you asked me a little background, like where I grew up and things like that, I was born in Beirut, Lebanon.
You were?
So, yeah, my father was a diplomat and a spy. How do you like that? He was the U.S. cultural attaché during World War II and immediately afterwards, and he'd been recruited into the Office of Strategic Services, OSS, and was really probably America's first master spy in the Middle East. He was one of these early scholars on the Middle East. He went to Harvard, and he had taught at AUB, American University of Beirut, and then like so many scholars, got recruited during the war by the OSS and so headed up counterintelligence because he was so knowledgeable on that part of the world. His job was to spy on all the other spies and make sure that no one got involved in Americans' intelligence designs. So anyway, that's a whole other story. Just simply to say that shortly after I was born, he died under very mysterious circumstances, and his last mission was to Saudi Arabia, so you can imagine what that was about. And my family moved back to the United States, my mother and her three little children. I was 6 weeks old and grew up in Massachusetts, but again, to make a long story short, I started my professional life as a journalist, and I did it partly in the Middle East. I had been a reporter for the Beirut Daily Star and some other magazines. Then I became a freelance writer in the United States, met my future husband in New York. I was at that point sort of a refugee from the Lebanese Civil War. Met my future husband, Jerry Kobe, in New York. He convinced me to go to the Amazon to investigate the genocide of indigenous people throughout the Amazon. That became an 18-year project called, and here's the name of the book, Thy Will Be Done, The Conquest of the Amazon, Nelson Rockefeller and Evangelism in the Age of Oil. That was published by HarperCollins in 1994. Eventually, the two of us started working on a book on the Middle East. Some of it shaped around trying to figure out what my father was up to in the last months of his life, I ended up suing the CIA on the Freedom of Information request. But where did I become a lawyer in all of this? I think my interest in the law developed when I first met my husband, and that was back in the mid-70s. He had just written a gigantic book on DuPont Company and family, and the book had been suppressed, and I helped him sue them for suppressing the book. That was my first brush with the law, and I must say that we got some justice at the lower court. The publisher was found guilty. The DuPont was let off the hook on the basis that their efforts to call the book scurrilous and actionable was viewed by a judge as being their exercising First Amendment rather than their interference with contractual relations. But in any event, I sort of got interested in the law, became a paralegal, and ultimately I got my license to practice law the old-fashioned way, which you can do in Vermont and I believe three other states. It's called reading for the law. You don't have to go to law school. As long as you learn enough law that you could pass the bar exam, then you get licensed to practice. So I've been a lawyer for 11 years. I've been a journalist for 30 years. And I kind of combine these two skills, the ability to investigate and the ability to know how to use the law to bring about justice, into this position called the Attorney General. And it's really quite a fascinating position to be in if I succeed. So that's the story of how I became both a writer and a lawyer. Probably, or your listeners probably want to know, how did I get involved in wanting to prosecute George Bush for murder? Is that your next question?
Yeah, I'm sure that is the topic of greatest interest. I would love to talk with you about your father, with whom I knew nothing about, later if we have time. But people are clearly going to be most interested in whether you are the one who can give us the possibility of
sure.
holding this guy accountable. As you
right.
know, millions of Americans have been trying to get some sort of sign of life out of Congress for many years now, have been trying all sorts of angles and pursuits, including journalism as ways to hold this guy accountable, and nothing's had a major impact yet. And here
right.
it looks like a possibility. So for anybody who has somehow missed it, and Vince Bugliosi has been on this program, could you give us the 2-minute version of what it
sure.
is you're committing to do?
Yes. Well, let me say that what convinced me to run for Attorney General, because I'd already decided to do that for the Progressive Party. They asked me to because I'm a lawyer. But what convinced me to take the next step and see if I could prosecute Bush, it was reading Bugliosi's book. And I read the evidence. I read the legal framework for doing it. It is so meticulously argued that gave me the confidence to say, okay, I'll do it in Vermont. And Vermont is fertile territory to do it. I mean, if ever there were a state to do it in, it would be Vermont, because there's such a huge animus against Bush. I don't know if people have heard that it's the one state Bush has never visited. Maybe, who knows why, but plenty of indications that we don't like Bush. 36 towns voted to impeach him at the town meeting, and Brattleboro City Council tried, well, they put a resolution out saying that he'd be arrested if he set foot in Beirut. They wouldn't have had the authority to arrest, but it doesn't matter. The message is loud and clear that Vermonters don't like Bush. I think about 60%, another poll said that Vermonters believe that we were misled into this war. And so for all of those reasons, I figured that, you know, my job is going to be to reach Vermonters. It's not going to be to persuade them on this issue. It's just a question of reaching them. And we're still doing that. That's why I'm really glad you had me on the show tonight, because we're still in the process of buying ads. We've got ads on a fantastic ad on the on cable TV. You can see it on my website, which is chardennett.org. And now we're buying up radio ads and TV and newspaper ads. We are going to have a big half-page ad in the largest newspaper this Sunday, which an attorney helped to buy. And so it's Vince and I have been on the campaign for about, he came to help me launch my campaign, and then he came back and was here all last week helping me campaign. And we make kind of a team, you know. I mean, he has so much credibility going with him that he's been a great asset to me. And, of course, his book would just be an academic argument if there weren't an attorney to try to actually make this prosecution happen. So we're ready. It's really up to the voters at this point.
It is, and up to people all over the country, not just in Vermont, who can significantly help your campaign, whether or not they have any money. If I'm not mistaken, but before we get to that, I want to remind people how to get in on this conversation, first of all, which is to go to thepeoplespeakradio.net, thepeoplespeakradio.net, or call in toll-free, 888-228-4494. 888-228-4494, outside the U.S. and Canada, 877-489-6350. And I will repeat that when Senator Obama is done with his 30-minute television ad on all stations, which is happening right now. And I wanted to clarify your website for people, Charlotte, because I used to tell people it was charlottedennettforattorneygeneral.com, which was very long, and then I started telling people it was dennettforag.com. And now I heard you say chardennett.org. So,
oh, my goodness. Yeah, the very long one still functions, but I've since learned that that's not a very practical thing to do. It's too long. But it
what's
does
the very
let you
best
know,
website?
Do chardennett.org. That's just nice, simple. The reason why Dennett, just Dennett alone didn't work is that it sort of connects to my brother, who's a very famous philosopher, and it
Daniel?
Started to annoy me that everybody, yes.
Daniel Dennett is your brother?
Yes.
We need to have two more shows, one about your father, one about your brother.
You know who Daniel Dennett is, huh? You're the first.
Yeah, yes,
you're the. That's the first time that's come up. But that was the reason why I didn't like Dennett for AG, because everyone was getting directed to my brother, and that's not helpful for the purposes of what I'm trying to do.
Well,
yeah.
For a certain audience, I think it would be very helpful. But let's leave people with C H A R D E N N E T T, two N's,
yes.
Two T's, chardennett.org.
Yes.
And I bring that up because. When you go there, you can not only watch the television ad that you can contribute to putting on the air in Vermont so that more Vermonters find out that there is a way to prosecute the former president, soon-to-be former president, but you can also find out how, from anywhere in the country or the world, you can phone residents of Vermont and tell them about Charlotte Dennett, and you can get a list of names and phone numbers. Am I correct? What should people know?
You are, and that is so critically important right now, because Vermont is a rural state, and what I've been doing is urging people, friends, and people who hear me, to to email everyone else that they know, to call family and friends. But the fact of the matter is that there are still entire pockets we haven't reached. For instance, eastern Vermont, St. Johnsbury, which is on the border of New Hampshire, they're out of the loop right now, and I've got to work overtime to reach them. I've been in southern and central Vermont and Burlington and, yeah, the central and northern Vermont. But, boy, it's a job, because I got into the campaign only in September, and so we've been making up for lost time. I will tell you that I don't think there are many candidates that can have the advantage of having, you know, someone like Vince Bugliosi also be interviewed around the country and to urge people to help my campaign. So that's been a great asset. That's helped us to make up for last time. I mean, I don't think in my memory, I can't think of a time when you've got a. We're both authors and we're both attorneys, and we both, you know, love justice, and we both know how to investigate. So we're a really good team. I must say, we just clicked beautifully. I had found out about him through a friend who was an investigative journalist that came up to my little farmhouse in Vermont. She needed to get away from it all and work on her documentary about how Bush was trying to get us into Iran. And she came with all her books and files and so on, and within, I would say, probably one day, her life turned around because I happened to mention to her that I'd like to get a hold of Vince Bugliosi, and turns out she had a publicist that was his publicist. And that put us together. And then she turned around and started doing everything to help me. That's Christina Borgeson, who edited a wonderful little book called Into the Buzzsaw, Leading Journalists Expose the Myth of a Free Press, which I have an essay in the paperback edition. But anyway, she got us in touch, and then everything's changed for both of us ever since. I mean, it's just been constant work. Because I was able to talk to Vince Bugliosi about 10 minutes after I first raised to her, and we talked, and then I met him in Andover, Mass., where there was a conference going on how to do criminal prosecutions using state murder statutes, among other things, and then he came up and helped me, and it's just been off and running ever since.
And people around the country are enthusiastic about it. It's a very strange situation where we have a majority of Americans want accountability for Bush. There have been no polls on prosecuting him, but a majority at times wanted him impeached when few polls were done. And very likely a very strong majority of Vermonters, you know, polls in the 60% range wanted him impeached in Vermont, and yet the whole question becomes how many Vermonters find out about you.
The incumbent is, he is a Democrat, and you know, I've had some attorneys say, oh, well, he's so well known, so but they think he's well known, but that's people in their circles know him well, and they think he's doing an okay job. I mean, I would call him incredibly complacent when it comes with some of the major issues that are facing us. Just for an example, we have a nuclear plant that's aging and literally being run into the ground and putting us all at risk with increased radiation levels. And he's just sat on his hands on that. I'm going to be challenging him tomorrow on that issue. So there are other issues in this race, but obviously the prosecution of Bush is the one that's getting all the attention.
Challenging him directly in a debate?
Yeah. Oh, I've challenged him. I've challenged him. Both Vince and I have challenged him to debate him on the subject of jurisdiction. Because what he's trying to do is just poo-poo the whole thing, just dismiss it, saying that you can't prosecute in Vermont because Bush didn't even come to Vermont, and you've got to have dead bodies in Vermont. And what he's revealing when he says this is his profound ignorance of the law. And I have challenged him and said, read Bugliosi's book, for starters, and then read the legal arguments that I have on my website. Surely you must have read the legal arguments. You know that I'm challenging you. And he, you know, he just sticks to his one-string violin that there's no jurisdiction in Vermont, and he's hoping that he will succeed as an incumbent. I would say that our biggest challenge is not that he's an incumbent, because frankly, outside of the county, the biggest county in Vermont, or where I'm calling from, outside of there, even inside there, I would say that the great majority of people really don't know much about him, don't even know his name. But the biggest challenge is that there's going to be very heavy voter turnout, and a lot of people are going to vote Democratic, and there is a lot of rote voting. You know, people just check off Democrat. That's why I have got to reach these people, because if I don't reach them, they're just going to tick off, you know, he's the Democrat, they'll vote for him. You know, because there are more people in Vermont that are registered Democrats than there are progressives. But on the other hand, the Progressive Party is a very solid, well-respected major party in Vermont. We already have six legislators that are serving in the legislature. We're running a full slate. So, it's not like we're a fringe party, because we're not. I think we're the only state that has this really viable, if you want to call it, third party. So the fact that I'm a progressive, that really is a factor, because the Democrats have been putting pressure on their own candidates to, not impeach, for instance, or on their own serving members of the House and the Senate, don't do the impeachment. Whereas when I raised this with members of my party, they said, go for it.
We are getting calls on the line and questions through the chat room, so I want to get to both of those.
Sure.
For you, our guest, Charlotte Dennett. Let me just ask, in Vermont, how much is there voting on paper? How much on direct electronic machines?
It's not electronic machines. I'm given what happens, certainly in the town that I live in, and ever since I've been here, which is since 84, you're handed a paper ballot, and you black out the person you want, and then it goes into a machine, but it isn't touch or whatever.
And then counted by an optical scan machine.
That's exactly right, yes.
And so there's not a possibility of someone pushing a single button to vote for all the Democrats. They have to,
right.
They have to actually check each Democrat, right?
That's correct. And I've been asked that several times now, which really tells you what a state we're in. Honest to God, you would think that they would have these so-called glitches straightened out by now, and now we're seeing all sorts of evidence of voter fraud again. But I can tell you that I think there's a less chance of that happening in Vermont, and thank God for that. So, Vince has been telling people.
The optical scan machines cannot be trusted at all, but if you have the paper ballots, there is the possibility of a recount, if appropriate, and you're the candidate, so you have the possibility of asking for that if needed.
Right. Let's hope it's never been an issue in Vermont before, but obviously this could be an issue.
It won't be.
Yeah.
McCain won't claim to have won Vermont. It's not going to happen.
Oh, no, there's no way he can do that. They won't even waste their time on Vermont on that. Hated Bush is. Obama is. I mean, the state's going for Obama, hands down.
And that's the interesting thing. In trying to get national activist groups that are tied to the Democratic Party to promote your campaign, Vince, as you know, and I and others have run into frustration. And it's ironic because these are groups and citizens who have spent the past 8 years bitching and moaning and lobbying and campaigning against the policies of this president. And yet, here's the opportunity to hold him accountable, the best one staring us in the face right now, and I can't post about it on certain websites because it involves campaigning against a Democrat. Even though, my understanding, there are four candidates in this race, yourself and another independent, and the incumbent do-nothing Democrat, and a Republican who can't possibly win, so there's not the spoiler argument to be made. Am I right there?
That's correct. Yes, I mean, really, it's basically between Sorrell and me. And he's got, incumbent. He's been an incumbent now for 11 years, as long as I've been a lawyer. And so how many people know him? Look, most people don't even know what an attorney general does. So I'm counting on that. Again, it's the rote voting that worries me. And, the Democratic Party is pretty threatened by us. I have to say, there were nasty shenanigans that were done with regard to the governor's race because Anthony Polina, who is a progressive and a member of our party, entered the primary as a progressive and then, for practical reasons, decided to run as an independent, and it had to do with fundraising and reaching to a broader audience. I mean, this is like his, I don't know, it's his third or fourth run for major office. He's really a very viable and articulate candidate. But anyway, he got hit with a threat from the Secretary of State, backed by the Attorney General, both Democrats, to return part of his money, because once he switched to independent, they said he couldn't get the $1,000 that's allotted for a primary. He could only get $1,000 for what happens after the primary. And they threatened to make him return some of the money he'd collected during the primary before he switched to independent. Anyway, it was all challenged. A progressive attorney challenged back, and a federal judge shot down both the Secretary of State and the Attorney General. And the Burlington Free Press even suggested that if this wasn't partisan politics, it was outright incompetence on the part of the Attorney General. So for our Gannett-owned major paper to attack the Attorney General is a good sign to us. But even so, it goes to show you that the Democrats in Vermont are not at all happy that we have this feisty progressive party, and they will resort to dirty tricks if they can. And then you put this on a national level, and you can see the difficulty that you were confronting.
Well, I think we're getting the message out there. Let's bring some people in this conversation. Let's start with Susan from Massachusetts, who is on the line. Susan, thanks for calling the People Speak Radio.
Hello, David. Thanks for having me. Hello, Charlotte.
Hi, Susan.
You've mentioned Vincent Bugliosi, and of course I've heard of him because of he tried the Manson case and he wrote the book Helter Skelter. What role would he play, will he play, in your administration?
Good question. Vince will serve as my special prosecutor. In fact, that's what I announced when I announced my candidacy, with him at my side. Clearly, there's nobody more knowledgeable on this subject, nor could you find a better prosecutor than Vincent Bugliosi. In fact, I think it was Alan Dershowitz who, notable lawyer, maybe less highly regarded with regard to his positions on the war in Iraq, but generally speaking, considered to be a very fine legal scholar, and he was saying that if there were a prosecutor's hall of fame, that Vince would be at the entranceway, and that if he were a guilty party, he'd never be more afraid than of someone like Vince Bugliosi, because Bugliosi will get to the truth of the matter. So I'm very confident by having Vincent Bugliosi be my special prosecutor. A lot of people have asked, well, how can you waste taxpayers' money on that, especially with the economy the way it is? And my response has been that we will raise supplemental funds to assist in this prosecution, that I am highly confident that there are many people out there that would be overjoyed to contribute to the prosecution. So that's what I will do. And Vince is very eager to do this. If I'm elected, he will come to Vermont right away. He jokes about how he's going to have to, live out of a motel. I'm sure we'd make him more comfortable than that. But that, we would set about right away putting together our team and doing the necessary investigation to bring an indictment before a grand jury. And this is all going to happen once Bush leaves office. Because once Bush leaves office, he's like you and me. He can be prosecuted in a state court for murder. Which is for murder, and I should say, parenthetically, for sending these troops off to war under false pretenses with reckless disregard for the consequences and indifference to human life.
And
which is an element you have to prove for second-degree murder. We're hoping we can even get first-degree. But in any event, those are sort of the elements of the crime that we have to prove. We can also prove the underlying crime of conspiracy to commit murder. And in that case, we would name not only George Bush, but probably Cheney, Rice, and others who conspired to bring about an overt act, and that overt act would have to take place in jurisdiction, I mean in Vermont, and in fact the overt act would establish jurisdiction in Vermont, and what we will be arguing is that by going on television and lying to the American people, for instance saying that that Saddam Hussein was a threat, an imminent threat to national security, and that he was involved in 9/11. Those two falsehoods were used to convince soldiers through the airwaves to join up and go to war, including Vermont soldiers. And then the recruitment of these soldiers was a second overt act, which took place in Vermont as it did in other states. So there you have the basic outline of the case, and the real crux of the case is going to be whether Bush can claim self-defense. If he can't claim self-defense, in other words, if he can't show, if he cannot show that that Saddam Hussein was a threat to national security, then he will be found guilty.
And those, Charlotte, who missed our program when we had Vince Bugliosi on as a guest, can pick up his latest book, which is called The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder. The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Murder, which, as Charlotte has detailed, makes this case that Bush is guilty of murdering U.S. servicemen and women in Iraq, albeit Iraqis pulled the trigger because...
Yes, and if I could just say a couple of things, David, on that little point, because there's a very poignant story that Vince tells. Cindy Sheehan, at one point, called him up and said to him, not even knowing the legal principle she's involved, which I'll explain in a second, she said, you know, it wasn't Iraqis that killed my son. It was George Bush, because the Iraqis were simply responding to an invasion of their country, and, you know, a preemptive invasion of a sovereign country, and they had a right to fight back. And that happens to correspond with the legal principle of what's called innocent agent, namely that Bush could order these troops to war from Washington, D.C., and they died in Iraq as a result of the innocent agent, that is, Iraqi soldiers who were repelling an invasion. Now, you know, one can quibble over the word innocent, but you understand the concept. And that is a bona fide legal theory that will be used in this case.
And it is a very encouraging one, and it is an excellent book that ought to be given to every state attorney general and district-level prosecutor or candidate to be such from here on out. No statute of limitations. Let's go to Mike from California. Thanks for calling the People Speak Radio.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for people like David Swanson and Charlotte Dennett, who've got a conscience and... you know, want to try and salvage some kind of integrity in this country. You know, Charlotte, I was highly disturbed by Barack Obama this past week promising Colin Powell a position in his administration. With that in mind, do you think that his administration, should you become elected, might in any way block or hinder you from going after President Bush?
That's a great question, and... I hadn't even thought about that. Basically, I'm girding myself for some kind of efforts to interfere by, you know, pro-Bush people. And, you know, Bush's defense team, for instance, might come up with some, as Bugliosi says, cockamamie legal theory to try to prevent us from going forward. Vince believes fully that we will succeed with an indictment, but that it's after the indictment that they might try to block us, and this may end up going to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we all know what that's like right now, and who knows who Barack Obama, if he gets the opportunity, hopefully he will choose somebody that is not as ultra-conservative as the two justices that were appointed by Bush. So who knows? I haven't even thought that far ahead. I've been sort of more thinking about how Republicans are going to respond. And by the way, I might add that an AP reporter, when I announced my candidacy, called the White House to get a response. They wouldn't respond, but they directed him to the Republican National Committee, and the Republican National Committee came out attacking me on a blog. The head of the Republican, I guess New England or whatever section of the RNC, attacked me on a Wall Street Journal blog, interestingly, and tried to marginalize me. They didn't even mention Vince, of course, because he had so much credibility. So, they sort of isolated me out and then said that this prosecution would appeal only to a fringe element. And then what I've turned around and said, well, there's a poll, a CBS poll done in 2005, that states that the majority of Americans believed that the Bush administration deliberately deceived them into this war. So that was in 2005. A lot more information has come out since. And I would argue that the fringe element sits in the White House and that they are completely out of touch with the American people on this issue.
And they aren't going to be sitting in that White House much longer.
But let me hope.
let me ask a related question to Mike's, which is, if this invasion and occupation was not in self-defense and not justified and sold fraudulently, it is conceivable to argue that it is still not in self-defense and not justifiable. Should President Obama continue this occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan and continue perhaps with strikes and perhaps escalations of military conflict with Syria and Pakistan, which we now have both of those without any sort of legal justification, at what point does he become guilty of murder?
Wow. Well, boy, you guys are way ahead of things, and I'd really have to think about that. But, you know, one of the reasons why we wanted to do this is to put the future occupants of the White House on notice that we will not tolerate what happened under the Bush administration. So, you know, my feeling is let's see what happens with going after Bush. Certainly, if we win this election, we're in a whole nother ballgame, folks, because that does put the hopefully Obama administration on notice that the American people are not going to stand for this flagrant violation of the rule of law, this culture of lawlessness that has been created under the Bush administration. And, it's interesting because, you know, Vince has been arguing on the show that this could be truly history making if we can win, and that this is possibly the second most important race in the country. And I'm sitting here like thinking about this and saying to myself, is this really so? And when you're asking me questions like you did, it hits home to me that it really is important, and that I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I can simply tell you that the response from around the country has been truly magnificent, and that the Vermonters that I've had the opportunity to talk to have been extraordinarily supportive. I mean, I would say 10-1 in favor with people I just stop and talk to. And I would also guess that the people who are so passionate about this are like, you know, working class people whose kids may have been sent off to this war and they don't like it. I think I said that Vermont has the highest per capita loss in this war. I was just mingling with people in Rutland, which is a pretty working class city and tends to be conservative, but I was just amazed at the response from people I talked to. I mingled around at a farmer's market, and they were giving me the thumbs up. And people, there's been a lot of press. There's there has been press in even the mainstream on this race. And so many people know how to find me on my website. And the I think that I can count on one hand the nasty comments that have come through. And I would say hundreds upon hundreds of emails that have come through supporting me. So Vince is absolutely right. This his book touched off a wave of passion that he has never seen in all of his history of writing books. And I think this race has touched a really passionate chord among listeners and viewers who have heard about it. So there's still time to affect it, to really have a good impact. And the way that people can do it is by sending donations. You can do it now. You've got to do it through PayPal, I would say, because that's the fastest way, unless you're close. Unless you, if you live, you know, within a few, you know, 2 days mail, then it's okay to still send checks. And we're just buying up ads left and right. And if you do send a check, all the info's on the website. We're probably going to go right to the edge anyway in our media buys. So it, you know, anything you can send is going to help us, and we'd be greatly appreciated. And making those phone calls is critically important.
If I've got a million questions, but we've got about 5 minutes, and I want to bring on I believe this is a different Susan from Boston, Massachusetts. Susan, you are on the People Speak Radio with Charlotte Dennett.
Yes. Hi, David. Hi, Charlotte. It's Sue Serpa from Boston.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Both
Sue's
how are you? Good.
Both Sue's have been incredibly helpful. Go ahead, Sue.
Charlotte, I haven't been up there to help you physically. I've been helping managing things in Boston. And I just wanted to know, do you think, in talking to the people in Vermont, that the mood of the sentiments have changed, and this has been, do you see this as more a partisan or a nonpartisan issue?
Oh, I think it's nonpartisan. I truly do. Again, you know, I see a difference between, like, the party regulars, the party insiders, and they're going to poo-poo it. But the man on the street, the woman on the street, they're just for it. I mean, it's just a natural for them. And that's why it's so critical that we reach these people. On this issue alone, look, look at what we've been talking about. There are so many other issues that I've had to address, and closing Vermont Yankee is the biggest one. There's multiple other issues.
That's the nuclear
plant. There's no issue that seems to galvanize people behind my candidacy more than this opportunity to hold this man accountable for what he's done to our country and to our people.
Charlotte, we've got a few minutes left, and I know there are lots of other issues, and we've got some questions in the chat room. Barney in Seattle is asking, what is your opinion of secession as a political tool? I understand Vermont has threatened to do so.
We have a growing and strong secessionist movement in Vermont. We had one before, and now I think they're having some big conference right after the election. And I know some of the people in the movement, and they are fine and very intelligent people. What are its chances of success? I don't have my finger on that pulse yet. And I can just say that there's a lot of heartfelt and imaginative thinking that goes on in Vermont. That's one of the beauties of it. Very independent-minded. And that's why there is such a movement in Vermont. But as to its possibility, I can't comment. I haven't had time to really assess it.
How about the wisdom of seceding?
I haven't focused enough on the issue to tell you what the wisdom is. I can simply tell you that the people who are involved in it are well-spoken, very committed, and very well-educated, and they have their own magazine, and now they're having this big conference. So the wisdom of it, I'm not going to comment on it. I just can't, because I haven't had time to study it carefully enough. I keep an open mind to many different things. Maybe because I actually didn't go to law school means that I can think outside the box. And so, you know, whatever serves the interests of freedom for our people, of restoring democracy, of preventing us from going the way of Germany, those are my concerns. And anything that advances that is something that I'll look very carefully at.
Well, clearly it takes someone who thinks outside the ordinary constraints of most of the lawyers who are prosecutors in this country, because as far as I know, you are the only one at the state or district level currently proposing to do this. And so I would encourage everyone everywhere in the country who can to go to chardennett.org, C-H-A-R. D-E-N-N-E-T-T, chardennett.org. Watch the TV ad. Give as much money as you can to put it on as many stations as possible. And ask for, contact Charlotte Dennett and ask for a list of names and phone numbers in Vermont that you can call to make sure that they are aware that she's running and that she needs to be voted for and that she's not in the Democratic column on the ballot. Charlotte, anything else people should know?
I think that's it. It's just that this is an incremental struggle, and now we've come to this point, so that all the people who worked so hard in impeachment did an extremely valuable service to us, and then you have Vincent coming along and writing his book and giving us a legal framework for it, and now I have so much support from around the country. Media, the alternative media has been fantastic. People like you, David. We've got a growing number of lawyers that are looking at the states because they know that the federal government and Congress have let us down. So every step that is taken advances us farther on this struggle. And even if I don't win, which I hope I do, but if I don't, I have a feeling that we've started something new and that other states can replicate it. It really depends on how well we do in this race, and so that comes back to your listeners. I'm counting on you to help us, the people of Vermont, turn the tide, and I just can't thank you enough for having me on the show, David.
Well, it's our pleasure. We appreciate everything you're doing. I know you're busy. We appreciate the time. We've got to leave it there. I hope very much that you win, and I know that if everyone listening does more than hope, we can make it happen. If you don't win, I hope you'll consider running at the district level and building on what you've organized. Charlotte Dennett, thank you very, very much. Everybody go to chardennett.org, and if you've got any coins and dollars left when you leave there, take them over to thepeoplespeakradio.net, because we are going to be drastically cutting back on our programming unless a new and different amount of money starts coming in.
David, could I end with a quote from Calvin Coolidge that's engraved on the Vermont State House wall? Just take me a second.
Okay.
If the spirit of liberty should vanish in other parts of the Union, and support of our institutions should languish, it could all be replenished from the generous store held by the people of this brave little state of Vermont. That was 1928, and I think it's pretty relevant today.
And pretty rare, and we need it. We wish you the very, very best. This is the People Speak Radio. We will be back with you very soon.
Thanks so much.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the city wall, by the relief of death, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.